audio version of Michael Lehtman's blog. September 24, 2017, The Spiritual Root of Pride. Question: can you please explain what the spiritual root of pride is? What is the root of arrogance? Answer: it's our egoism. In the world in which we exist, there is an I, the most important persona. Why? Because that's how I experience myself. I am the most important, the most central, the most. Our initial nature was intentionally created as the opposite of the Creator, so that as we begin to experience qualities of bestowal coming from Him, we can compare these qualities with our own egoistic qualities and begin to construct our understanding of the difference between this and that. It is similar to the way we build an electrical system with various resistors, condensers, batteries, and other components. The elements may be opposite to one another, but thanks to the interaction between them, they create a correctly functioning system. In our world too, everything is built on action and reaction because we, as created beings, can experience any property, sensation, or quality only with respect to its opposite, from darkness to light, from sour to sweet, and so on. There is no other way for us to discern anything. Two qualities need to be present in us, and we feel the difference between them. The Creator has only one quality, the quality of bestowal, which is His initial state. He only created the quality of reception in order for us to exist and to be able to develop the quality of bestowal above it. It turns out that we exist in our world strictly in the movement from egoism to altruism. And this difference between them needs to remain. Several interesting conclusions can be drawn from this. First, egoism is not destroyed, because otherwise we will lose the sensation of altruism. We cannot remove the quality of hatred, because without it we would not be able to experience love. We cannot get rid of sinners, thieves, and bullies, otherwise we will cease to experience what it means to be righteous. Everything is attained through contrast. That's why it turns out that everything has to be in the world, but only in correct balance. This is what the Kabbalist strives for because he understands how all of nature is constructed. He is not planning on destroying anyone or correcting anyone, he only demonstrates what exists in front of you, but what you do with it is your choice. In other words, this is a very generous methodology, relying on well-balanced individuals. From Kabbalah Lesson in Russian, April 2, 2017. Why did dinosaurs become extinct? Question: why were the dinosaurs in existence for hundreds of millions of years? Does a Kabbalist know what made them extinct? Answer: all the inanimate, vegetative, animal, and human life are gradually transformed into higher forms. That is why the ancient fern and other plants became extinct, as did various kinds of animals. Even minerals have changed. According to researchers, you can tell how many million years old a particular oak is. Everything happens naturally. The same holds true for the people. Just look at how different people living today are from those who lived 100 or 1,000 years ago. Even in their appearance, not to mention their level of consciousness. If I were to teach Kabbalah today the way Aristotle and Plato wrote about it, claiming that the soul depends on how deeply a person breathes, I would be laughed at. Can you imagine what the great thinkers of the past wrote about? With a deep inhalation and exhalation we fill our soul. And they really believed that is what the soul is. Today, those great minds of their generation would look like silly boys if they remained on the same level because the constantly developing desire develops us. That is why we cannot compare ourselves to other generations. From the Kabbalah Lesson in Russian, March 19, 2017. The Right Attitude to the Events in Our Life. Dr. Michael Lehtman in conversation with N. Levi Yandel Lechter.
Hello and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Yael Shedarel.
Hello.
Today we want to learn from Dr. Lightman a few important things about our life. We'd like to talk about things like destiny. Is everything predetermined? What isn't? Can we control our life? Can we influence this big movie called Our Life? Be with us. It's going to be really interesting. יעל, please.
Yeah.
Today we want to talk about destiny. Is everything predetermined? How can I influence things? Where can I, as a person, enter this pre-written program and influence it? On our previous show, we understood that everything is predetermined unless a person upgrades his own program with the help of the wisdom of Kabbalah. And before we delve deeper into the understanding of how do we make the upgrade, I'd like to understand how is the predetermined script realized, a script that was determined long before we were born. How is it realized? How is it actualized? How is it carried out? Who carries it out? I don't think that we can really understand it. I'll try, but in advance, I'm saying that I can't go into details because it's an ocean of details, parameters. This plan is carried out by one force called nature. It's sustained by one force called the creator, or nature, or God, or the upper. This is a positive force, where inside this positive force, like in a field of force, exists a desire. And this desire is called the creature, because the creature was created by that positive force called the creator. And the creator, as the positive force, develops the desire. What's the use from the development? The use is that the desire, every time that it is under the roller of development, and it's not simple, it's constantly developed by a necessitating force, and this necessitating force pushes it forward by suffering or pulls it forward by pleasure, because the substance is the desire to receive pleasure, the will to receive, and this is how it develops into higher and higher, more and more exalted forms. Meaning, in the will to receive, besides the feeling of pleasure, suffering, gradually as a result of the different events that it goes through, there is an additional component that's added to it next to the will to receive, which is called the brain. The memory, where from the different memories of the different occurrences that it goes through, it also has a kind of an inner program of what the past is with respect to different states and correspondingly were they better or worse according to how it's felt in the desire to receive pleasure. Meaning, the different occurrences that the desire to receive pleasure goes through are registered in it as pleasure or suffering, and furthermore, it's registered in its experience called the brain. And then, as a result of all of these experiences that it goes through, it can start guessing, making for itself different smaller programs, pre-plan, what does it prefer, what doesn't it. These are all parameters from the past, and this is how it advances. And besides the parameters that it has from the past, it can also learn it from its environment, the still, the vegetative, the animate, and other people, and then, This is how it advances. But also, as we said before, despite all of this pretty sophisticated program, it is a program in which there are no components that are sudden. Meaning, if we were familiar with all of nature, with all of the operating forces, then we could have measured in advance precisely.